Dr. Fuad Ajami is a senior fellow at the Hoover Institute, also co-chair of the Herb and Jane Dwight Working Group on Islamism and the International Order at the Hoover Institute. Joining us today, Dr. Ajami, thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
Let me start in Syria. Are things getting better? Are they moving towards a more peaceful resolution of the issues there?
I think it's important that you started with Syria. I just literally returned from Turkey and from the Syria-Turkey border. I went to look at the refugee camps, and I spent some time talking to the leaders of the Syrian National Council. And, of course, Turkey is the most pivotal neighbor of Syria, and it is the place where the Syrian National Council is now mostly based. I think it's going terribly in Syria, and I think the faults of the Obama administration and the sins of both omission and commission are remarkable. I'll give you one item which is really troubling. The Libyans, newly liberated, have crates of weapons which they wanted to send to the Syrian rebellion, to the Syrian opposition, and to the Free Syrian Army. So in the nature of things, they asked the Obama administration for its blessing and for its support, and they were told that no such support for that would be coming. So not only do we refuse to arm the Syrian opposition, but we're actually lobbying against other nations arming the opposition. It tells you where we are now on the Syrian issue.
Who is the opposition in Syria? Is it just the citizenry in the streets?
Well, you know, it's everyone. It's like these recruits who are, most of the time hungry and afraid and terrified. They are taken into the army. They are, even the people of Syria have to feed these soldiers because the government simply doesn't take care of them. It just makes sure that they are used for killing their fellow citizens. So, yeah, everyone is involved in this rebellion. The Free Syrian Army, which is just the recruits of just ordinary young Syrians, people who were diplomats and decided to defect from this brutal tyranny, Muslim Brothers, to be sure. I mean, there is a kind of religious element to this opposition. I think it's basically, we have to be somewhat blunt about this. It's a rebellion of Sunni society. The majority of the Syrians, 75% or so, are Sunnis, against this tyrannical Alawi minority, which has hijacked the army and the security services.
At some point, Dr. Ajami, will the army rebel?
Well, I think the army is not really going to rebel until we do something very interesting and very important. We need a safe zone, a no-fly, no-drive zone within Syria, close to the Turkish frontier. If you establish that, and that would require both American support politically and militarily as well, and a green light to it, if you establish that kind of safe zone, a no-fly zone and no-drive zone, the army, the lower ranks of the army, who are from the Sunni majority, who are being called upon to kill their fellow citizens, will begin to defect in large numbers, and this regime may yet fall. But the core units of the Alawi brigades, the units commanded by Bashar al-Assad's brother, the units of the Alawis invested in this regime, I think they will fight to the finish.
And let me ask you, you visited the refugee
yes.
camp. I think it puts a human face on it for us. What did you see there?
I tell you, I was devastated, to be honest with you. And again, it was, I studied these issues. I talk about them. And, I grew up in Lebanon. Syria was right next door. But going to these camps, seeing these proud people, I saw a family that would, in many ways, in every way, resembles an ordinary American family of middle-class people. They had a fishery in Jisr al-Shughur, in their hometown in Syria. They were well off. They were decent people. Their daughters studied computer. And now here they were in this refugee camp in Turkey. They've been there in a tent for 10 months. They've traded a house, 8 rooms, in on the banks of the Orontes and this fishery business for living in this tent. 2 of their sons were killed for taking part in a demonstration. 1 son is still missing, and everyone in these camps tells you the word missing means, in fact, that they've been killed. So here is this family. They have been stripped of everything. They've been stripped of hope. They've been stripped of three of their sons. And when you listen to them tell you the story of their lives, you're reminded of the fragility of so much of order in these societies.
What is the future for those people going to be?
I don't really know. To tell you, I saw the children. I mean, there was one little infant, because I was visiting the camps with my wife, and there was this one little infant, 6 months old, who's a son of the missing son of this family, a grandson of the head of the family. And there were two other kids, and then you walk around and you see these children, they are not getting any schooling. You see these camps, the Turks are doing their best, but they don't have the means to take care of them. They've spent $150 million. At some point, they will be calling on the international community to do more. But the children break your heart as you watch them, and as you watch them trying to kind of make a life in these refugee camps, it's bleak.
Is there anything more that the UN can do?
The UN has, I think there's a colleague of mine I have highest regard for, and that's Charlie Hill from both Hoover and Yale, who watched the UN performance and watched this phony Kofi Annan mission and said, had there been a UN in 1776, they would have found a way to derail the American Revolution. The UN has been a disaster in this, and this Kofi Annan mission has been nothing but a cover for Bashar al-Assad to kill more of his citizens.
This is Dr. Fouad Ajami with the Hoover Institute. Dr. Ajami, thank you so much for the information. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Take care.